Good morning and welcome to the Harrisonville United Methodist Church. It is awesome to have you all with us on this beautiful day outside, but it's always a beautiful day in the house of the Lord, and it is great to come together, whether we're here in this space or wherever you may be watching us on YouTube this morning. It is great to have you with us as well. So let's come together and worship. Let's focus our hearts and minds. Let's quiet our restless souls by listening to some beautiful music.
Try that. There we go. Well, let's try again. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord all the earth and worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. You know, one of the things that when we come to worship our God, we come to lift up our songs of praise. We come to hear God's word speak to us. But we come also to hear these words like the psalmist to remind us of who we are. Amen? Amen. To remind us of the faith that we hold together. To remind us of how God has been with us. May we sing of that today as we stand and sing our opening hymn, My Hope is Built.
And if you're using your hymnals, we're singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus. darkness veils his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And let's move into an affirmation of faith. We'll just stay on our feet and say this together. We believe in one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism, and one hope to which we are called. We believe in the Holy Spirit and one body, the church united in peace. Amen. Now let's go to God in song. This is called Trading My Sorrows. Here we go.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. His joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. Joy's gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for joy.
Time, here we go.
I'm trading my sorrows.
have a seat, everybody, as we go to a time of prayer.
Gracious God, we come before you in this day. We come before you as those that you have awakened by the power of your Spirit this morning. You have breathed into us the breath of life. You have spoken our names. God, is good to know that you know us, that you're here with us, and that you have called us to this time and place. We come, O God, with many things on our hearts and minds. There have been things that have happened in this last week that we are uncertain of, and there are things that have happened that have shaken us a little bit, and we ask your Spirit to intercede, to be present, to remind us that you are God and you hold all things in your hand. And with those same hands, oh God, we are aware that there are those in the hospital this week, this very day, who are in need of your healing, that there are those who are preparing for surgeries in this coming week who need you to guide the doctors and nurses to perform your healing miracles in their lives. And there are those who are at home right now, oh God, who just need your Spirit to remind them that they are not alone, that you are with them, just as you are with us right now. So God, today, as we come to worship, we pray your Spirit to be poured out upon us. We pray your Spirit to be poured out upon our community as kids prepare for school, as teachers begin to make ready. We pray your Spirit to be poured out upon your land, that we might be faithful to you. Speak to us today, O God. Move amongst us. And hear us as we pray to you in this day, the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. The circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. Change. I pray that the fear inside would flee.
There is one thing that is always true of things that are living. They are constantly in a state of change, right? I mean, there's something that is always going on, and every living thing has some form of motion. It's either growing greater or it's shrinking. I mean, we even discover that as we get older, right? I mean, we could even say, I'm shrinking, right? Living things just don't remain the same. And it's true at every level of our being. Relationally, we're either growing in relationships with others, we're either growing towards others, or we're growing away from them. We're becoming more and more distant, but they're not the same. It's true of us physically. I mean, and at that level, it's multifaceted, right? It's size-oriented, it's muscle-oriented, it's age-oriented, it's mental. I mean, we could keep going on and on. I mean, it's true of our physical being. It's never just static. But the same is also true for our spiritual being. We are always growing spiritually, or we're not. We are always growing in our living relationship with God, or we're not. We are constantly in motion with God. But here's the thing about spiritual growth that fits right into our series. It's messy, right? I mean, it's rare that spiritual growth is always up and to the right. I mean, it's rare that it's always constantly going. I mean, spiritual growth is more like a series of loops. Amen? Yeah, there are moments that they're high, there are moments that they're low, and there are moments when they go, I've been here before. How did that happen again? Oh. It's a series of discovery and doubts. It's a series of successes and failures, of twists and turns. And we get this idea sometimes that it's not supposed to be that way, but it really is. It's just messy. Because spiritual growth is not a program. It's not something that we can do a certain set of steps and all of a sudden, voila, a disciple. right? But somehow we have it in our minds that, you know, if I just prayed enough, if I just read enough scripture, if I just memorized enough scripture, if I just went to church enough Sundays during the year, if I just served enough, then boom, I'd have arrived. Now, some of you have been doing that for a long time. How's it working for you? Right? It didn't quite turn out that way, did it? No, it just doesn't do that. I mean, all those things are helpful, and all those things teach us who God is and who we are, and all those things guide us in a life with each other, but they don't automatically produce growth. And they don't automatically make us a disciple. It just doesn't happen. Spiritual growth is a wild search for God. Ooh, just say that with me. Spiritual growth is a wild search for God. It's a desire for God, for knowing God, for loving God, for living in God, for being rooted and connected to Jesus. It's a desire that overrides frustrations and disappointments and failures and surprises and even successes, because sometimes our successes can be bigger stumbling blocks than failures. Amen? Christian life does not take place in seclusion. It does not take place in a perfect world. I mean, the Christian life, the life of a disciple, the life of following Jesus is in the real world. That's where Jesus lived. That's who Jesus was with. It was not all worked out. It was not all planned. It was messy with him. That's where Jesus came to live and to be, and that's where Jesus interacted and called his people to be, and that's where the early church grew up. It was in the real world that Jesus showed us how to love God and love one another. Amen? It wasn't in these walls where it's kind of safe to say, oh, I love you. Heck yes, you do. I'm all cleaned up today. It'd have been totally different for you to come up and give me a hug after I was mowing my yard this week, right? You didn't love me so much then, right? No, he calls us to be in an imperfect world. That's where real love gets lived out. Paul painted a picture of that when he wrote to the church in Philippi. In chapter 3, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have I already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Man, Paul paints a picture for the Christian life, does he not? He paints a picture for the Christian life that really begins here. He reminds us, you have to enter the race. You have to be in the race. I mean, if you're going to be pressing towards a goal, if you're going to obtain a prize, you have to be in it. Amen? I mean, you don't win by standing on the sideline. You don't win just because you're on that right side of the finish line if you haven't run to get there. You have to be in the race. To grow as a Christ follower, you have to be in the race. You have to be following Jesus. It's a choice, if you will. We don't grow in consistency by studying the definition of consistency. We grow when we try to be consistent in an inconsistent world. Amen? We don't grow in being a follower of Jesus when all we do is just study Jesus. We grow in following Jesus when we actually follow him in a messy world. Even God's word. I mean, a good Bible study. Man, I love a good Bible study. But it doesn't do me any good to study God's word unless I let God's word study me. It doesn't do me any good to study God's word unless I'm willing to live what God's word teaches me. Do you hear me yet? That could be another sermon. We can talk about love, but we only really grow in love when we love other people. Amen. I can write all day about how much I love my wife, but real love shows up whenever she ticks me off. I probably should have said it the other way around, because I tick her off more than she ticks me off. But you get what I'm saying, right? It's easy to love when everything is perfect. It's harder to love when things are messy. We can talk about not being racist. We can talk about loving other people. We can talk about welcoming all, but it's another thing to put ourselves in those neighborhoods, in those lives, and actually building friendships. Amen? Another thing that puts us in the race is not just a choice of choosing to be there, but it's having a heart that is open to God. Having a heart that is open to being transformed, hearing and receiving truth, hearing and receiving and offering forgiveness. Having a heart that's open does that. Now, I just want to take a short detour here. Have you ever been stuck in life? Some of you must have a frozen shoulder, you know. But I think we've all been stuck in life, right? And I'm not talking about on an old dirt road. I'm talking about stuck in life. Where you are stuck in a feeling, you're stuck in a situation, you're stuck in not knowing what to do, you're stuck in your relationship with God, you're stuck in not being able to forgive, you're stuck in your anger. Okay, now, has anybody been stuck in life? There we go. Now we know what we're talking about. You know, we can get stuck in our hearts, and the Bible calls that having a hard heart, right? And usually when we are stuck, we begin to beat up on ourselves because we're stuck. And we think that there's something wrong with being stuck. But here's what I want you to hear. Being stuck is the prerequisite for being unstuck. Do you hear that now? Because in order to be unstuck, you have to first realize that you're stuck. And when you're stuck, the only way out of being stuck is for Jesus to reach in and unstick you. Amen? Amen? Now, what do you and I need more in life than anything else? Jesus reaching into our lives and unsticking us and not us doing it on our own. Amen? So the next time you're stuck, the next time you're feeling like your heart is hardened, the next time you realize you don't know what to do or how to do it, realize that's a moment when Jesus can come in. That's the moment that Jesus can change your situation. That's the moment for spiritual growth. Amen? So if you're stuck today and you're thinking, I'm not growing, it's a perfect moment. It's a perfect moment to begin to grow, to begin to depend upon him a little bit more. And what that reminds us is that every situation in life, a real spiritual growth, is built upon one decision upon another. Amen? It's not a big one that's like once and forever. Okay, now I'm going to say something, and then you're just going to, well, I'm going to say something, ask for forgiveness, but not really. You know, there are those folks that say, you know, I can remember the moment I was saved. Ever meet one of those folks? Now, I'm grateful for those moments, amen? And I'm grateful that that happens, and I believe that it does happen, and I believe it can happen in those moments. But friends, being saved with Jesus is more than a moment, amen? It is more than that one time. And for many of us, we don't necessarily remember that moment. It was a series of decisions, a series of smaller moments, a series of, oh my goodness, I'm in a life with Him. Amen? But it wasn't just once. John Wesley believed that once we understood who Jesus was, once we begin a life with Jesus, that justifying grace kind of moment, that God's sanctifying grace continues to work in our life, making us more and more like Jesus, and that's an ongoing process every day of our life. Amen? One decision after another, to love Him, to love His people, to serve Him, to serve His people, to worship Him, one decision after another every single day. That kind of spiritual growth is different for all of us because our walk with Him is different. Our need of Him may have roots that are the same, but our situations are all different. We are all unique. And so how we come to Him is going to be unique. It's not going to be a set of steps that 1, 2, 3, I'm there. It's going to be messy. So remember that even in that messiness, that sometimes growth is not always instantaneous. Sometimes it's not always perfect. Sometimes it's even reluctant. Did you hear me? Because reluctant growth is still growth. Sometimes we get convinced we have to withdraw from everything, but that was not Jesus' call. Jesus' call was simply to follow Him. And if you notice, there were only a few times when He took His disciples off to the mountaintop, and the rest of the time He just led them right into the thick of it. He didn't take them out of the world, He put them in it. In everything that was messy. So we look at this being stuck, and we look at what Paul says about that, and we realize that what Paul really says is that Christ took hold of me and pulled me out of this. So once you're in the race, we're also called to have the right attitude. More important than doing the right things, more important than anything else, is to have that desire for God, to have that right attitude kind of thing. In the Old Testament, God's people kept their right attitude by staying focused on God. And how they stayed focused on God was that they had these boxes that had little long pieces of cord on them that they called phylacteries. And these phylacteries were tied either to their forehead or they were tied to their right arm, which when they were in prayer was placed over their heart. And inside that phylactery box was a scripture, and that scripture was there so that the word of God was on their mind or the word of God was on their heart as they were praying, so that they were focused on God. And the scripture that was written on there was a prayer from the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy called the Shema. And the Shema is this prayer, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Have you heard those words before? Have you heard those words even from Jesus? Have you heard those words as a word that focuses us and focuses us on who we are and what we are to do? It's desire, right? That's what they had on their minds and on their hearts as they were praying to God. I have a desire for you, God. I have a desire for you in my heart, God. I want to love you with my mind. I want to love you with my heart. I want to love you with my strength. Do you hear how that was a part of who they were, reminding them of this thing all the time? It was to be their heart and their life and their mind's desire. It was not a once and done. It was an over and over and over kind of thing. Because it was knowing God as a lifelong journey. And it's a journey that we do not run on our own. Jesus said it this way in John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. Now, another place he says, if you lift me up, I will draw all people unto myself. I mean, who is it that produces spiritual growth in our lives? It's God, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? You and I do not produce disciples we don't make ourselves disciples. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you disciples. You and I, we don't do that. Who does that? God does that. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit does that. We can't do that on our own. So we have to have proper effort. Proper effort reminds us that God begins it and God fulfills it. Amen? Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us, it's not about running harder, it's not about running faster, it's not about doing more things, it's not about doing less things, it's not about any of those things. It is about staying focused in who Jesus is, staying close to him, having a desire for him, having being rooted in him, and he will produce the fruit in our lives. We don't always see him working, but we learn a dependence upon him. That we can't do it all by ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us those characteristics of Jesus, that gives us the fruits of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control. That's the work of the Spirit in us, not you and me. Amen. I can try to be patient. It doesn't go very far. I can try to be self-controlled. And then you put a piece of pie in front of me. And it can only go so far, right? I can try to be forgiving, but I cannot do it on my own. How about you? No, I need the Spirit. They don't come by our own efforts. So how do we live this messy life? We remember it's one decision at a time, built upon another. We remember that it's different. We remember that it's based upon our desire for God. We remember that we are simply who we are because of who Christ has made us to be. Amen. Amen. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it this way. He says, the church is nothing but a section of humanity in which Christ has truly taken form. Man, isn't that just a good phrase? The church is nothing but a section of humanity in which Christ has truly taken form. So desire God today. Desire his son Jesus today. Live by the Spirit today, having a heart that is open today. Seek a life in Christ. Don't worry about being stuck. That is simply a sign that you are open and ready for God to act in your life, to offer you what only Christ can offer you, freedom. And don't give up. Be the church. Be the place where, as Paul said it, Christ has taken hold of you. And press on to where he's leading you. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. May we come to the table where Christ makes himself known to us in this time. May we come with our hearts open. May we come knowing that we have need. And may we come knowing that he has come to meet us here in this place. Would you pray with me? May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty. You formed us and created us in your image. You breathed into us the breath of life. You called us to be your people, to walk with you, to follow you, and to be with you always. When our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You sent prophets, you sent your word, you sent your spirit to call us back home. And even when that did not call us, you sent your own Son, who in the fullness of time came to be your presence in our messy world. He ate with sinners, gave sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk again, healed the sick, visited those who were in prison, and even caused the dead to rise back to life. In that night in which he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples in that room, he washed their feet, he prayed with them, and he offered them this meal. He took bread, and he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." And so, O God, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you here and now to pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, so that others will come to know you and to love you and to serve you. And, O God, may we continue in this fellowship with each other, that in the fullness of time, when your Son comes again, we may be with him forever, eternal in the heavens, sharing in this word. All this we do in your name and in your honor, O God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Will those who are coming to help serve come forward at this time? Christ broke.
season. Are you supposed to have bread or the tree? Okay.
This is the table of our Lord. It is open to all those who desire to have a life with Him. Come and receive these gifts in this day. If you would come, you can come down the center aisle. You can also use this as an opportunity to make an offering. Offer your own heart to God. But as you come, receive these gifts of God for God's people. Cecil has gluten-free elements if you need that. But come, this is God's table, and you are invited. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you make yourself known to us and in which we become one with you and one with each other. We pray your Spirit to continue to be poured upon us in this day as we give you thanks and praise together. Amen. Would you stand?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Let's sing together one more time today as we sing, Take Our Bread.
Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives, oh Father, we are yours, we are yours. As we stand at the table you set, yours as we eat the bread our hearts can't forget. We are the sign of your life with us, yet we are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our. Take our lives, oh Father, we are yours, we are yours. Your holy people standing washed in your blood, Spirit-filled yet hungry, we await your food. We are poor, but we brought ourselves the best we could. You are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives, oh Father, we are yours, we are yours.
Just turn to your neighbor right now and just say, you belong to him. Would you just do that?
You belong to him.
Now, for some of you, that's just good news that you belong somewhere, right? It is good. It has been good to worship with you this morning, and thank you for being here today. We have some things coming up I just want to share with you real quick. One of them is next Sunday from 6:30 to 8:30. We have a pool party at the Harrisonville Aquatic Center. And so some of you just think maybe this is just for kids. Here's the thing. Everybody floats. All right? Some of us better than others. All right? So come. Bring a friend with you. It's going to be a great time. Be a great way just to cool off. So do you know that? Also, the United Women of Faith have their friendship brunch that's happening on Saturday, so make sure that you sign up for that or sign up for what you're going to bring. That's going to be a delightful time as well. And then next Sunday, just after church, we're just going to kind of gather in the hub. If anybody just wants to kind of have a little chat, you just want to ask me questions, you want to get to know me a little bit, we're just having a little chat. You can do that. Just hang out, okay, and come and join. We would love to do that as well. I think other announcements are there, so you just kind of can take note of those. But do know this, you're a mess and God loves you anyway. And may the God who takes a mess and molds us and makes a masterpiece be at work in you today and tomorrow and all the days that lie ahead. May his love take hold of you and fill you overflowing. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
Amen.